Psalm chapter 20. All right. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept all of your burnt sacrifices. Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord! May the King answer us when we call. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for your great name, that we can remember your name and be saved, Lord. You're such a good God. We pray you'd bless your word. Speak to us now, Lord, by your Holy Spirit. Guide my speech, Lord, that you would be glorified, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So I don't usually put titles to my message, but the title in one of the Bibles I was looking at said, "Remember the name of the Lord our God." So I'll entitle this, "We Will Remember the Name of the Lord our God." And this psalm, as you see there in the beginning, it says, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David." And so David is the writer of this song. He gives it to the chief musician. So it would have been set to music. We just sung some songs here tonight, and this psalm would have been sung. And it most likely was a antiphonal song, a new word I learned as I was studying for this, and that's just where two groups of people sing different parts of the song, and they're basically back and forth with one another. The first five verses would have been sang by the congregation or the choir, and then verses 6 through 8 would have been the king or possibly the priest at that time or the choir leader, and then they'd come together in verse 9 to sing the final verse there. And this, we don't know exactly when David wrote this psalm, but psalm commentators say this would have been sung when the king was preparing to go out in battle. And so as he would go to the, in David's time, the tabernacle there to present offerings to the Lord before they went to war, they would have sung this song. And it's very possible that maybe David was there at one time praying, crying out to the Lord for help to save them in this battle, and the people just erupt after his prayer in this, and then David's response, and maybe that's what this psalm came out of. We don't know for certain, but they're getting ready to go out in battle. Now, there's two things that really stood out to me as I was studying this, and the first was the overwhelming theme that's expressed in the psalm, just their complete confidence in the Lord God, and then the second was how much we, as the congregation, the people, should be praying for our leaders, not just the leaders of our country, but even more so the leader of our fellowship here, our pastor, how much he needs our prayer. Hebrews 13:7 says, "Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct." And so we definitely need to be praying for our pastor. And I just jotted down a few reasons why. One, he's going to be held to a higher level of accountability. There's a judgment there. He's going to actually stand before God and give an account for each one of us that are here in this church. He's going to face temptation. I believe that Satan would want to tempt him more, maybe in some cases, than us. because there's a greater, Satan can have a greater effect against the kingdom of God if he can bring down the leadership that God has placed there. It would not only destroy him and his family, but also bring shame upon the Lord and his church. And of course, when pastors fall, it has a great effect on the people within the church, oftentimes. And I think even now, especially the time that we live in, the unique pressures that pastors face. Should we come to church this Sunday? Should we meet? Should we follow the government's guidance and not meet? Or should we, you know, what is God wanting us to do to be obedient to the law? Or is it going against God by not meeting as a church? And there's just a lot of unique things in there that he has to deal with as a pastor, and he needs our prayers. And then for blessing, because as we intercede on behalf of our pastor and the Lord strengthens and encourages him and blesses him, we get blessed in turn. We're the recipients of God using him. And so it's an incredible thing. And we'll see as we work through the psalm, you know, the congregation or the people of Israel, if God gives victory to David, they're going to rejoice in that victory also. They're going to share in that victory also. And so verse 1, he says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. And so we look at, you know, I'm 48 years old, and I live in the United States of America, and in my lifetime, I can never remember a day of trouble where I thought our country was going to be defeated. You know, in these days with David and the nation of Israel, if they were defeated, you were either getting wiped out or you were becoming enslaved to another nation. I mean, people that are in the Middle Eastern culture where you have all these little countries all around each other, they do live in fear. There is that fear that, hey, if we don't win this battle, this could mean everything. And for us here in the United States, I've never experienced that in my lifetime of this fear that we're going to be defeated. I remember 9/11, and there was a little bit of a fear there of we don't know what's going to happen. But the idea of somebody coming and defeating us and taking over our country, you know, I have a hard time understanding, you know what I mean, feeling the same, understanding what these guys may be going through in their culture and at that time. And so the day of trouble it'd be very troubling to the nation to know you're going up against a greater foe, a greater enemy maybe, that has these chariots and these horses, as we'll see as we work through this. But they pray, may the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. As Psalm 50:15, the Lord says, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. And then they say, may the name of the God of Jacob defend you. And I don't know if you guys remember the story of Jacob there. Jacob is basically running away because his brother wants to wipe him out, and his mom says, I don't want him marrying anybody around here. Send him to his people. But on his way, he sleeps in a little area, and he has this dream, this vision of the ladder to heaven and angels going up and down. And but the Lord speaks to him through that vision he's having, that dream. And the Lord speaks to him, and basically, I'm paraphrasing here, he says, I'm the God of your father. I'm the God of Abraham. I'm the God of your father. I'm going to give you the land that where you're laying your head right now. Your descendants are going to be as the dust of the earth. In your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. I will be with you and keep you and bring you back into this land. And then Jacob makes a covenant, basically a covenant with the Lord. Hey, if you do all those things, if you go with me, if you feed me, if you take care of me, if you protect me, you'll be my God. And we see David and the nation of Israel here in this psalm, they're proof that of God's faithfulness to Jacob. They're proof that God was faithful to defend Jacob. And so He says, may the name of the God of Jacob defend you. And so, as we talk about the name, may the name of God, it says, I think in our day, the meaning of names, they've kind of lost their value. Names are just kind of, oh, that's a cool name, let's name them that, or whatever. But back in the Bible time and in the Bible itself, names are very important. Names are very descriptive. And oftentimes, when we see someone named in the Bible, their character becomes very apparent in the Word of God, in the way that they act and the things that they do. And I think it's even interesting as we talk about the God of Jacob. God gives Jacob a new name. You know, he started out as the heel catcher, and God changes his name to Israel, you know, governed by God. But by the name, it's meant the revealed character and Word of God. We just sung a song about the name of Jesus and how great that is. And the Word of God gives us a picture of God's character and his name. And I wrote down a list here of names of God found in the Bible. We have the descriptive names, I guess I should say. We have El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. El Elyon, the Most High God. Adonai, or Lord, Master. Yahweh, Lord Jehovah. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Mekodishkem, the Lord who sanctifies you. El Olam, the everlasting God. Elohim, God. Kwana, the jealous God. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. And one commentator puts it this way in regard to this verse. He says, the people pray that God will prove himself to be all that his name implies that he is. They wish for God to protect the king as he protected Jacob. In Proverbs 18:10, it says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Verse 2, he goes on, and the people pray. They say, may he send you help from the sanctuary and strength out of Zion. And so the sanctuary, it's a place of worship. It's a place where people would come to meet with God. And in David's day, it would have been the tabernacle. They would go to the tabernacle. That was the sanctuary. That was the place that they would worship. In Solomon's day forward, it would be the temple, would be the place of worship. And I think in the future, in the millennial kingdom, you'll have the city of Jerusalem there, the city of Zion. It's going to be called Jehovah Shammah, or the Lord is there. And I look forward to that day. But as I thought about this, they're praying, Lord, send help from the sanctuary, send help from Zion. And that's where God said he would be, the city of our God. And for us, when we're facing trouble, there's help that comes from the sanctuary. And I'm not talking about this building. We're meeting in the sanctuary right now, and we had a time of worship and meeting with our God now, as hopefully he speaks to us from his word. But I'm not talking about a physical place. We as New Testament believers, we're blessed in that we can enter that sanctuary. We can receive help by just simply entering into worship with the Lord. He's with us. He's in us. He's given us his Holy Spirit, regardless of where we're at. I thought about Paul and Silas as they're in prison. They've been beaten. They've been whipped. They're in chains. And what are they doing? They're there and they're worshiping God at midnight, you know. So much so that God, not only did he help them in their time of trouble, those guys were so full of joy in a time where I don't think I would be so full of joy, although I know the Holy Spirit would probably instill that joy in me at the time. But right now I think about it and think, I don't know if I could do that. But they were so full of joy. And then, of course, there's the earthquake and all of that. And God uses, God helps them in a way that they're able to minister to somebody. Somebody comes to the faith. They turn to Christ in seeing God working in their lives. In 1 Peter 2:5, it says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." He's building us up into a spiritual house. And he wants to use us for his glory. In verse 3, it goes on and he says, "May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifices. Selah." May he remember all of your offerings. And so the priest, or David, the king, he would go to the tabernacle there. He would make offerings, and very likely if they're going to battle, they're going to make offerings and sacrifices to the Lord and cry out to him as David did. And they're saying, may he remember that. May the Lord remember that as we go. May he accept your sacrifice, your burnt sacrifice. And in the Old Testament, even to now, the acceptable offering and burnt sacrifices always required faith. It required faith on the part of the one offering it. And I think it's interesting here. We have Selah. And it's kind of a word that tells us to pause, you know, to think about, to meditate on what we've just read over. And this is a song. And so I think maybe this is the time where the guitarist enters into the solo and it gives you time to reflect upon and just worship the Lord. And I think possibly this is just a possibility. Maybe this was the time as they go into that Selah where the priest actually is offering up the offerings to the Lord. That's kind of what I envision as I look at that. But that he may remember and accept. Ephesians 5:2 says, "And walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." You and I, we can give offerings because of what Christ has done. You know, when I think about, Lord, remember my offering, no, it's more like, Lord, remember Jesus. When you look at me, remember Jesus. Remember his offering, which was a sweet and smelling sacrifice. In Hebrews 13, 15 and 16, he says, "Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and share, for with such sacrifice God is well pleased." And so we can have be well pleasing to God as we just offer up the sacrifices of praise. Like Paul and Silas, they're in the midst of pain and suffering, and yet they're praising God. And that's pleasing to the Lord when we look to him. Here, it's before the battle, and they're looking to the Lord to strengthen them and to give them victory. And we'll see the effects it has as we work through this. In verse 4, he goes on and he says, "May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all of your purpose." And so what is his heart's desire? What's the king's desire at this point? They're getting ready to head into battle. And if we look at Psalm 21, Psalm 21 is the companion song to this. And it's actually thought to be the psalm penned as he's returning from battle. And in verse 4 of chapter 21, he says, speaking of the king, he asked life from you, and you gave it to him. length of days forever and ever. And so he looked to the Lord and he asked him for life. Give us life, Lord. Give us victory. Help us succeed in this. And the Lord does, as we saw there in Psalm 21. The king's looking to the Lord for salvation. And the people not only say, may he grant you according to your heart's desire, but that he would fulfill all his purpose. You and I are not here tonight by random chance. God has a specific purpose for King David to fulfill. And he has one for you and I. He has a purpose for us. And the prayer here is God, may you fulfill all his purpose, Lord. And I think of Pastor Jack. He has a purpose. God has put him here in Madawaska, brought him here during this time for such a time as this. And how much we should be praying, Lord, grant to him according to his heart's desires and fulfill all of his purpose. And if you and I will pray and encourage him in the way that people are encouraging David, it'll be amazing to see what God does, and we'll be blessed in the process too, as the Lord definitely blesses the people in this. And now, thinking about this psalm and how it relates to Christ, Hebrews 5, speaking of Jesus, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. And so Christ cried out, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. And he went to the cross, and he was given the reward. He fulfilled his purpose in that. And that's why you and I can stand here today and worship our great God. In verse 5, he goes on and he says, we will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May the Lord fulfill all of your petitions. And so we will rejoice in your salvation. And one commentator put it this way, this was the confidence that people had in King David's success. They had so much trust in God's deliverance that they had already set up banners of joyful celebration. They knew God was going to save him, and so they rejoiced in that. The banners are our flags of defiance to the enemy, or our tokens of triumph to God's glory, who hath given us the victory. In Psalm 64, it says, you have given a banner to those who fear you, that it may be displayed because of the truth. Selah. And so, speaking of the name of our God, the Jehovah Nissi, the Lord my banner. And as I was reading through this, I thought about it. In Revelation 22, it says that when we see God, the servants of God will be there serving before God. We'll see him face to face, and his name will be written on our foreheads or in our foreheads. And I'm thinking, man, I'm going to have the banner of God upon me right on my forehead. I'll look at Al and I'll say, oh, you're the Lord's. It's written upon your forehead. And he'll look at me and he'll say, you're the Lord's. His banner. We will set banners. In the name of our God, we will set up banners. And he says, may the Lord fulfill all your petitions. In 1 John 5, it says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we ask of him. And so, Lord, answer his prayers. Answer his prayers, Lord. And Lord, we pray for Pastor Jack right now. We ask, Lord, that you would answer his prayers. I know that he's had time to seek you on his time off. I pray, Lord, that you would answer all of his petitions, Lord. We ask that in Jesus' name. And now as we come through this, we get to verse 6. And verse 6, we're going to see David's response, the king's response to the people's prayer to the Lord for the king. He says, Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. And so you can see in just the way that he's speaking, the king is encouraged. He's strengthened and confidently responding to the prayer of the people. He knows that the Lord is going to answer his prayer, that the Lord is going to save him. Regardless of the number of troops that he's about to face, regardless of how daunting it looks, he knows that God is going to save him, and he's going to do it with the strength of his right arm. And that right hand, the strength of the right hand, I mean, it speaks of power and strength. And it's like God rolling up his sleeves and he's flexing. And he's going to get the job done. And then verse 20, he goes on and he says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. What are we trusting in is the question we have to ask ourselves today as we look at the faith of David here. What are we trusting in? We live in the United States of America. We have the most superior army, military, in the world. We have the United States Marine Corps. Hoorah! Lean, mean, green fighting machines. There's not a better force out there, right? Amen, brother. And yet God says in Psalm 33:17, the Marine Corps is a vain hope for safety. Actually, he says a horse is the vain hope for safety. Neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him and on those who hope in his mercy. Do you hope in his mercy? David was hoping in his mercy, and he knew he would be able to rejoice triumphantly after the battle. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 19, it says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours. And so we as Americans, we like to boast in the military. Me as a Marine, I like to boast in the Marine Corps. We have a president who likes to boast in what he's done. You know, we're a very boastful people. We boast in the economy. We boast in our freedom. And in the blink of an eye, it can be gone. I mean, we've seen how our economy has tanked. And, you know, oftentimes we put our trust in temporary things, the temporal, when we should be putting our trust instead in the eternal. And we should be remembering the name of the Lord our God. They trust in these things, but we remember. We remember, we're to remember the name of the Lord of our God. The object of his faith, speaking of David here, was the name of the Lord. God's name is his nature, his reputation and character. David's faith came from meditating and pondering on the known reputation of God. Some trust in chariots, some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. In Psalm 9:10 it says, and those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. And so do you know his name? Do you know his name? Have you put your trust in him? There's a plague in the land. COVID-19. It's killing people. Some trust in vaccines. Some trust in hydroxychloroquine and zinc, but we will remember Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. I'm feeling out lonely and isolated from this quarantine. Some trust in Facebook, some in video chats, but we will remember Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Emmanuel, God with us. Abba, Father, our daddy. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. There's a food shortage in the land. The food is contaminated. Some trust in gardens, some in their livestock or their meat chickens. But we will remember Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. I think about just the Jehovah Jireh thing. He is such a good provider. We went into this, and I remember my sister-in-law on the West Coast sent us a text with a picture in it. And she said, look at the shelves over here. And this is before everything got crazy. And I said, Julia, you better go to the store and stock up, because if it's already hitting over there, it's not going to be long before it hits over here. And it took a couple weeks before it hit us over here. So she went to the store and she bought some rice and staples and things and an extra thing of toilet paper. But you know, through this whole thing, through this whole COVID-19 pandemic, shortness of food on the shelves, we have never had our pantries fuller. I'm telling you, we're spending half as much on groceries and we have food coming out our ears. And we're just looking for, the Lord has provided opportunity to us. He blesses us. We're able to bless somebody else. And part of me says, uh-oh, what's coming, Julie, that God's providing so much for us right now, you know? But he's our Jehovah Jireh. It's not that we don't do what we need to do. Yes, we should have. I'm a husband and a father, and I need to provide for my family, and I need to make sure that they're taken care of. But ultimately, I need to point them to the Lord. And he's our Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. There's rioting in the streets. Some trust in police. Some trust in their 12-gauge or their 9mm on their side, you know. I'm thankful that we live in a state where we can conceal carry. And yet, we will trust in Jehovah Shalom. We will remember Jehovah Shalom, the Lord, his peace. I feel lost. Remember Jehovah Ra, the Lord my shepherd. I should be a better Christian by now. Remember Jehovah Mekodoshkim, the Lord who sanctifies you. I fall so short, I'm such a sinner. Remember Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. The world is so evil. We were talking about that today. Things just seem so much worse. When I was a kid, I lived in a town probably the size of Bangor, and it was nothing for me at Ezra's age to hop on my bike and ride across town, go play with my friends, go to the store and get candy or whatever. Nowadays, we live in a small community, and I would never let my kids do that just because of the evil that is just so rampant now. And we live in a fairly safe community as far as those things are concerned, but it just seems, the world is so evil, and it seems that Satan and his demons are in control. But we remember Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. He's my Adonai, my Lord, my Master, Yahweh, Lord Jehovah. He's El Elyon, the Most High God. He's El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. Proverbs 21:31 says, the horse is prepared for the day of battle, but deliverance is of the Lord. Gang, the chariots and the horses aren't the issue. There's things we can do to prepare. I mean, David had an army and they were well trained and ready to go. But it's the object of our trust that makes a difference. The enemy, they were trusting in those things. They were trusting in their chariots. They were trusting in their armies. We look around the world today, and there's all kinds of different things that people trust in. Right now, everybody's looking for November, and we're trusting in our candidate, whoever that might be. I look at our candidates and I'm a little scared if you're putting your trust in that, you know. I don't have much trust in our political system to work the way it was designed. And yet, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember El Olam, the everlasting God. Psalm 29:10 says, "The Lord sat enthroned at the flood, and the Lord sits as king forever. The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace." God was there at the throne. He was on the throne at the flood. There was wickedness. There was wickedness going on as Noah is building the ark. And Jesus said in Luke 17, he says, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage. Until the day that Noah entered the ark, the flood came and destroyed them all." You know, the Lord was on the throne then. He's on the throne now. I look at the culture that we live in right now, especially our American culture. I can't speak for other places in the world, but it's as it was in the days of Noah right now. We only care about ourselves. What's good for me? That's what it is. What's good for me is what matters. We're caught up in our own little lives, our own little Facebook page. How many likes did I get? How many people really responded to the awesome thing I said or the cool picture I shared? While people are perishing. Noah built an ark. He preached the gospel as he built the ark. And we're to preach the gospel as we follow what God leads us in. God's on the throne today. My prayer is along with David's prayer in Psalm 108 and in Psalm 60. It's the same prayer there. "Lord, give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless. Through God we will do valiantly, for is he who shall tread down our enemies." Verse 80 goes on and he says in Psalm 20, "They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright." David prophetically on Psalm 20, he says, "I have confidence in the name of the Lord our God." They're going to be the ones bowing down. They're going to be the ones falling by the wayside. But we have risen. God has lifted us up and we're able to stand upright. In verse 9, he says, "Save, Lord. May the king answer us when we call." And it brings me right back to the Lord. "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Save now, Lord." We sing about Jesus' name, his great name, salvation. Isaiah 33:22. Isaiah says, "For the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our king. He will save us." And I hope tonight that you can and will declare with me, like David did in Psalm 91, "I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust." Because if we will remember the name of the Lord our God, I believe the Lord will reply to us just as he replied to David in Psalm 91. This is the Lord's reply. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high. Because he has known my name, he shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." And Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your great name. We thank you that we're exhorted to remember the name of the Lord our God. Your name encompasses so much, Lord. We're so easily distracted by the temporal, Lord. It's so easy for us when we see the wickedness, the wicked things. I think of the trafficking that goes on, the human trafficking in our country. And I can't understand, Lord, why you allow it. I don't know what your plan is, but I know that you will make it right one day. Lord, help us to remember your name, Lord. Help us to go from this place, not to trust in the things we have or the people around us, the security of our home or our job, our 401k, the security of our food storages in our pantry or our ammunition supply or whatever it is, Lord. Help us to trust, Lord. Help us to remember your name, Lord. You're the Lord our God. And you have an eternal plan and a purpose for us, Lord. Help us to have our eyes on that. We pray for our pastor, Lord. We pray that you would strengthen him, Lord. Lord, may you answer him in the day of trouble. May the God of Jacob defend Pastor Jack. Lord, may you send him help from the sanctuary and strengthen him out of Zion. Lord, may he remember all your may you remember all his offerings, Lord. May you remember what Christ has done for him. May you accept his sacrifice, Lord. May you grant him according to his heart's desire, Lord. Lord, may you fulfill all of Pastor Jack and Sandy's purposes, Lord. And Lord, we will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God, we will set up our banners. Lord, may you fulfill all of ours and all of Pastor Jack's petitions. And Lord, may he be able to declare that he knows that the Lord has saved him. That he knows you will answer him from your holy heaven, Lord, with the saving strength of your right hand. May he be able to say, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. May he see the enemy defeated, Lord. May he be able to see it with eyes of faith, even the battles that aren't won yet. May he see that he has victory because you're his God. And may he see himself on the other side, Lord, standing upright before you, Lord, and risen because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And Lord, save, Lord. May the King answer us when we call. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.